The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of Spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
However you want to make a splash this year, Wool Runner Mizzles from Allbirds can help every step of the way. Wool Runner Mizzles are shoes crafted with premium supernatural weather-repellent materials. The high-top uppers are moisture-wicking merino wool with puddle guard technology, and the supernatural rubber treads ensure all-weather traction, so you can jump into anything, rain or shine. Make a splash with Wool Runner Mizzles from Allbirds. Discover your perfect pair at allbirds.com today. That's allbirds.com.
Maryland sports fans, there's only one sportsbook in the great state of Maryland with over 50 years' experience booking bets and supporting customers. Betfred Sportsbook at Longshots is now open and is the only sportsbook in Frederick offering cash betting on football, basketball, world soccer, and more. Visit the Betfred Sportsbook at I-270 and MD-85 in Frederick, right next to Longshots off-track betting. Go to BetfredSports.com for more information and your chance to win exclusive merchandise. Must be 21 or older. Play responsibly. For help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. Although Emmanuel Drone is not a full-time musician, music has always been his first love, and has always enjoyed that classic rock sound of groups like the Beatles and the Rolling Stones. With the global pandemic putting everything on hold, he seized the opportunity to create a worldwide project and form a new band and record a new record, all with the help of the internet. The band, The Folks, self-titled album, released in mid-August. Emmanuel is my guest all the way from Singapore on this edition of Americana Music Profiles. Hello, Emmanuel. Welcome to the podcast. Thanks for joining me today.
Yeah, thank you, Brian. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, great to have you all the way from Singapore. This is so cool.
All right. Yeah. I'm stuck in Singapore also. I live in Singapore and I'm French, but live there for 12 years.
So how did you get from France to Singapore? What brought you there?
So, I work in the industry. I own the bar in Singapore. So on the outside of the music, my specialty is whiskey.
Okay.
So I have a bar with like 1,500 whiskey in my bar. And I write about rare whiskey, and I'm specialized about old and rare bottle of whiskey.
How did you get into that? How did that become something you were interested in?
Ooh, that's a long story. That started in around 1995. I thought to be very interesting in Scotch whiskey and the history of the whiskey. And when I was in university, I was studying history. I was supposed to become a teacher, I wrote a newsletter about whiskey. It was 10 pages about whiskey. And I got offered a job. And the whiskey became after very, very popular. And so it became my job. And I came in Singapore in 2008. I opened my own company and I owned a bar. I wrote a big book about whiskey, and I do some expertise for a company like Sophie's about old and rare whiskey.
How did music come into the picture for you then?
Well, music was, I can say, it was my first passion.
Yeah,
love with music. I'm in love with, of course, American music. I was my first love for music was probably all the artists from the Sun Studio.
Yeah, sure.
The very early records of Owen Wolf, B.B. King, and then... the very first rockabilly, the very first record of Elvis and of the Sun Studio. So I started to play in a band in the late 1980s. And I never put music aside. I always play music. I always buy guitar. My last trip to U.S. was last December. I went to the West Coast and... I bought some guitar in LA and a famous shop called Norman Rare Guitars.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you heard about that shop. And my first trip to US, it was in 2004. I was invited to a bourbon trip, so I went to Kentucky, and I went to Nashville. And so, in a way, I was never very far from the music. And this year, you know, with the lockdown. So in Singapore, we are still in a way in kind of lockdown. So in March, when we started the lockdown, I knew I would have 3 months a bit off of my business.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, okay, I will do a project to do to record an album.
Yeah.
And so the idea was to do, of course, if I was not in lockdown, I could have done it in with local musicians by say, okay, I will do it with the modern technology. So I say I will try to get the musician I like.
Uh-huh.
And so the first musician I like is a guy called Charles Pertu. He's an American guy. He's a bassist, which is now very popular on YouTube. He has like 400,000 followers on YouTube. He's an amazing bassist. And when I discovered him on YouTube, he was much less famous. So he's the first person I contacted. And I got a drummer from Nashville and a singer from UK, from Cambridge, north of London. And so I wrote many songs at the beginning. And my project was to do in 3 months to do an album, and is what I did. So I started to record everything from home and to get in contact with this guy. And we did it. And by the 30th of June, we made it. The mixing and the mastering of the album was done in a studio in France.
Huh.
In a studio called Wild Horses in France.
Did you know these musicians personally prior to putting this project together?
No.
Yeah?
I mean, I didn't know them prior to the project. So my idea was just to have guys I like, so especially the bassist. And then the vocals, I did a few tests with a few different guys. And directly like Jamie in UK, and I say, okay, I will finish a project with him, and I will do more projects with him, and this is how we did that album. It was really a lockdown project, you know.
Uh-huh.
It will never happen without what happened, the situation of the COVID-19, and it was to do how to make music when you are stuck at home and try to play with people, and which is amazing. It's
uh-huh.
The technology of today allow you to do that. You can record your drums, your bass, your bass, and your guitar from home, and you can mix your music. And so it was the idea, try to do an album in that difficult situation.
And the band is called The Fooks. Do I have that right?
The Fooks, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
where did that come
French,
from?
So
yeah.
I come from is a mix of folks, you know, guys and fool, so a bit crazy, and is about the situation of today,
yeah,
in the world, a bit of craziness. So you know, I like the fact to have a name like I don't know, the Beatles, the Rolling Stones, the Stooges, and
uh-huh.
Most of the name are taken, of course, today, but and is a name I had always on the side written in the book. I always like the name The Fooks, so. And so is the name I use for the band.
The first single, The Most Beautiful Queen. I love that song. It has a very 80s kind of vibe to it, kind of that early sort of new wave romantics kind of almost feel. You can hear some influences of Rolling Stone, kind of straight kind of rock fun rock music. Yeah. Yeah, how did that song come about?
First of all, to tell you, most of the songs of the album, eight of the 10 songs has written on Telecaster,
uh-huh.
And which is tuned in G tuning.
Okay.
So you know, the G tuning is the old blues tuning,
sure.
That was indeed taken by Keith Richards playing G tuning also. So you have definitively this colors of. Of Rolling Stone, I mean, in the way I play guitar, even if I don't try to copy any style, but he started when I was in a much younger in a band. When I was 18 years old, we had a band and we were covering that song, "Concrete Tonk Woman."
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And so I have a guitar just to play that song.
Oh wow! Okay,
guitar. I was recording, and I really the only song I learned from the Rolling Stone, but I love the power of the chords when you play with the G tuning. And I start to play more and more, and I always tune my guitar in G tuning. And so I wrote most of the song in G tuning. And which is, of course, we can almost call it today's Keith Richards tuning. But so definitely you have that a bit Rolling Stone vibes. But yeah, it's a tuning I love. I always play with the G tuning.
Did you keep that tuning, that flavor throughout the rest of the album?
Yes, but the song, I don't know. Do you have access to all the album? Or
I have only heard the single. I have not had...
I will send you all the rest, so you will see. I think all the song, I think, sound a bit different. I think I tried to make it very... naturally, it's different.
Uh-huh.
All the songs sound a bit different, but definitely you have his open G tuning, which has a very, very special vibe and song.
And these songs, did you write specifically for this project, or are they songs that you've collected over a period of time?
No, the two first songs on the album is called Thought Mode to Green. I have a second song, it's called Sweet Sour Freedom. This is an old riff I have, but the idea was to start from scratch.
Yeah, okay.
And so from late March, I say, okay, I will try to do a full project. So 2 years ago, to you another background, I wrote a big book about whiskey, about old and rare whiskey, and I wrote a book of 900 pages, 7 kilo, a big book, and it was a big project for me.
Mm-hmm.
And my second project say, okay, I want to go back to my passion and try to write a good album. Something I like and I can be proud of with good musician, and I'm happy with it, and I'm working on a second one already with the band. So.
Did you say you're working on another one?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes, already.
Okay.
Already. Yeah, I think in our music, you know, when sometimes you grow a bit and you put the music a bit aside.
Yeah.
But the music never left me. If you can see me right now, I'm in a room. It's my office, but it's full of CD records. And if I check around, picture of Louis Armstrong, Stevie Ray Vaughan, and Johnny Burnett, Rock and Roll Trio. And I have like many Nashville bridge guitar, many amps. And so music is really part of my life. Every day, I cannot live without music. So.
Yeah,
I'm very happy. In a way, it was a terrible situation for me or for my business. What's happened with the COVID-19? But I'm very happy that pushed me back in the music in some things I would have loved to do maybe 10 years earlier.
Yeah. Okay. What do you have? Obviously, you've got folks all across the world that have participated in this record with you. Was there ever a thought that maybe you could get together and tour as a band?
I would love to.
Yeah.
I would love to.
Yeah.
I hope it could happen. Definitely. Yeah. I would love to.
Okay.
I hope the world will allow us to travel again. And it's a very strange world we are today.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
In many countries you cannot travel. I hope it will be possible. Definitely. I mean, music is made not to be on Spotify, but you have to play on stage.
Right. Would you attempt to do it with the musicians that have helped you create it?
Of course. Yeah that would be great. Would be great. It has to.
So it's how long has the single been out itself?
It has been out on the 10th of August. The second single will come out on the 7th of September, and I will release four single and the album will be on 10th of November.
Okay. How's the response been? What kind of feedback are you getting?
Yeah, it's good. I think I got a good response, and especially on the UK side. So that's good. I mean, it's just, you know, it's just the first project, so nobody knows us for now, but we got some good review, and it's very interesting because, you know, sometimes we got some review or critics, and we have people who say, okay, I cannot play your song because it sounds too classic rock or too old school, and which I like because it's what I want. I want in a way to be old school. I don't want to play something modern.
Yeah.
I like old music, and I'm checking right now at your website. That's nice.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's a statement quote or something that said, you know, old becomes new again, and I think, you know, you see that in certainly in fashion trends, and you know, the 70s was really popular for a while here several years ago, but before the pandemic hit, the 80s was really starting to kind of come back into vogue with the younger crowd, and at least the first song specifically really fits that vibe, and so
I think classic will never. I think for me, it will never die.
Right,
it's like in my bar, classic place, very nice, full of Chesterfield, and you know, all Chesterfield so far, leather, and now we say you could sit in this bar like 50 years ago or 50 years later, you will never die.
Yeah, yeah.
And I believe the all music, I mean, it can be brass, blues, and it will be always country music.
Yeah, it definitely stands the test of time, and you know, especially when you see a lot of the newer, younger artists covering music of that genre, you really get a feel for how strong those songs were then.
True. I don't remember the name, but I remember last year someone wrote, I think he was a rap singer in the U.S. He mixes music with a country song, and it became a huge success.
Yes.
That was interesting to see that how even rap music can come back to such a old school classic American music, like old country music, and it's interesting to see that.
Yeah.
Good music, for me, good music will be always there.
So you said that you're already in the works on a second project. Will it be in the same flavor?
Same flavor. I will try to make it same flavor. I mean, it's my style of music, but of course, I hope I will try not to just copy what and try to make something we can be a little bit. I think we'll keep the style, of course. Mm-hmm. We won't change the style and. You know, I do it naturally. I just play guitar and a riff of guitar came out. And I just record what I like, and what I like is obviously old school. It's just about, I like just bass, drum, good rock guitar. I mean, rock, or it can be a little bit, soft, but basically, I like the guitar. So it's classic rock guitar.
I think what you did was so encouraging to other musicians to be able to take advantage of this time when you can't get out and tour and take advantage of technology that allows you to create a band. I mean, you know, the old way of that happening is three or four people get together in a bar or
exactly.
college dorm, and they all realize they like music together and say, hey, let's form a band. And you kind of did the same thing, except you went to the four corners of the earth and you know,
which is amazing today, because it was not, as I say, I could, when I did this project, I could have said, okay, if I was in Singapore, I would have taken local band, I would approach local musician. But I had this opportunity to say, okay, let's just play with guys around the world and just, met this project that happened, and in what the modern technology can offer to us, and it's amazing is you can really do it. I mean, in the past, you know, you have like a moving studio, you know, top studio will go top city to city, and they can, in the 1930s you have or 50s you have Alan Lomax, they were recording all the old bluesmen. And in the 1970s you have the Rolling Stone studios, they could go and record the moving studio.
Yeah.
But you will not be able to do this kind of like the way to say, okay, I will play with someone, I'm on the other side of the world, and I will play with the musician in Nashville and another one in London. That's amazing, the new technology.
I'm
old school, but I like the way that, okay, we can use new technology to still can do some old school music.
Yeah, and I have been finding that people are moving back into some of the old school methods. I spoke with someone earlier today that has built an entire analog studio with the intention of and using some digital mixing techniques, but capturing it with that analog material.
Analog, yeah. It's what It's what happened to us, in fact. So all the music was obviously captured in a digital way, but the mixing, mastering, everything was done in a studio with analog technology,
yeah,
old school technology.
Yeah,
and that was nice to see that. Okay, we can make it happen, and we can make it happen. Even from home, and not with necessarily a lot of money, like in the studio. So it's very encouraging for many people to say, okay, you can make an album.
Yeah, awesome. Right.
You don't need necessarily a record company. You don't need on my case, I just produced the full album myself.
Yeah, wow, that's awesome. So the band again is the Folks, and it's self-titled record. The first single, The Most Beautiful Queen, is out. I think you said the album itself will be out early November. How can find you, get in touch, listen to the singles as they come out, and perhaps get...
Yeah, they can listen. Of course, we are on every modern platform like Spotify, iTunes, on YouTube, and we have a Facebook page. I'm not very good on Facebook, but I have a Facebook page for the band and Instagram. I mean, if anybody wants to contact us, we'll be happy to get in contact with anybody.
Yeah. Well, it's exciting, this project, and I certainly wish you the best with it, and I thank you for taking the time to share the story with us, Emmanuel.
Yeah, thank you very much, Greg, for contacting us and giving us some support. It's really nice. I mean, we do music not for the... it's not about the money or to become famous. It's just to produce music.
Yeah.
Just music makes us feel good in difficult time, and I really love to do that project. I play music every day, and I will continue.
Yeah, that's great.
It was really...
Let's take a listen to the Folks' first single release, The Most Beautiful Queen.
Her life to be at the top, amongst all those who never give her thought. She walks a lot to be on the track, the one that never wants you to come back. She works at night to get her pay, but has a style that cannot be paid. She got her eyes on a beautiful dress, the type of dress for a lady princess. She wants to get it to run off the street. She wants to dance, she wants to feel, she wants to love, she wants to be like a queen. The most beautiful queen. Job to start a new life, woke up at six to be the next wife. She found a place to be settled down, a simple place to get off the ground. She stopped to smoke and stayed off the dope, and couldn't dream of any better hope. She got her eyes on a beautiful car, the kind of car that makes you a star. She wants to get it to run on the street. She wants to drive, she wants to party, she wants to live, she wants to be like a queen. The most beautiful queen. To stay away from the crooks, and found her new friends really off the hook. She calls her mother sometimes twice a day, and let her sister come round to stay. She's really thinking of starting a business, but needs to spend a little bit less. She's got her eyes on a beautiful house, the style of house that makes you a spouse. She wants to get it, for sure such a treat.
She wants a man, she wants a daughter, she wants a son, she wants to be like a queen. The most beautiful queen. The most beautiful queen. Beautiful queen. The most beautiful queen.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
With the Baker's Plus card, it's easy to get lower than low prices. For the win! Earn fuel points on every purchase and save up to $1 a gallon at the pump. The Baker's Plus card. All you do is win. Big, big savings. Sign up now at bakersplus.com and start saving. Baker's. Fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your favorites with the Buy 5 or More Save $1 Each sale. Simply buy 5 or more participating items and save $1 each with your card. Baker's. Fresh for everyone.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Frenino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune into Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.